Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hello, foodies. Welcome to another delicious hour of radio. And I tell you what, I don't even know where to begin when I am going to define for you where we are sitting right now. Because when you're thinking about all of the great restaurants that really helped to frame and to cast Southern Arizona as a true food community, there's a few on that list. And one of them is where we are broadcasting from right now. We are live from Kingfisher Bar and Grill on Grant Road, just a little bit east of Tucson Boulevard, having a great time. Murph is in the house, and he is going to be sitting and celebrating with us a little bit later on in the show, because there's lots to celebrate, fellow foodies, because Kingfisher is celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. There is a lot to talk about and so little time, so let's go right now to the man who is occupying the coveted celebrity co-host seat. It's been a while since he's been on the show, but when I'm thinking about great beers to enjoy during different times of the year, here's a guy that says beer is the key to self-transformation. He represents a great brewery called Iron John's Brewing Company. Put your hands together for the Honorable John Atkinson is in the house. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Matt.
It's nice to see you. And here we are, Kingfisher. What a great place to celebrate this huge milestone.
You know, I go way back with Murph. I used to work at the Good Earth Restaurant for any old-time Tucsoners.
Right.
Back 30 years ago, and I knew Murph from those days, from way back in the beginning.
So much fun. And I just, you know, he really is one of those heroes.
Yeah.
You know, when he got together with his partners and unveiled the Kingfisher concept 25 years ago, I continue to celebrate that revelation each and every day. But let's talk about beer, and we cannot do this show justice were we not to hoist our glasses high. I have chosen a Luna Blanca. Something you know a thing or two about over at Iron John's.
It is the summer beer. It's delightful. It's finished with lemongrass. It's bright, light, cheery.
Well, what are you drinking there, sir?
Same thing, sir.
Okay, right, cheers. Salute. All right, let's do this right. With the reverence that the moment deserves. Lemongrass hops playing well together in this light summer beer.
Light, easy, wheat-based. Real casual drinking, good with anything.
All right, so tell me what's going on at Iron John's these days. I mean, we're going to be talking about the second location. I keep hearing about in a while, but get us going. What's making news in the tap room these days?
We come up with a new beer every week.
Yeah.
You know that. So,
no one
what's
else
new?
Does that.
Yeah, what's new is just the craziest way, thing to answer, because it's every week it's something bright and different and delicious. Right now we've got a celebration beer for my birthday coming up this next month.
Oh.
It's this big American barley wine, 10.5%.
Oh, yes, please.
I had to name it Big John. And we've got some in a firkin sealed up, self-carbonating on its own for the next couple weeks, and then we're going to tap that baby on a Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock on the 21st.
Okay, so this is a big beer. Is this representative of a big birthday, John? I mean, I'm not going to have you disclose any numbers, but is there a big deal happening
here? I'm ready to consider retirement. You know, I'm hitting 60 this year.
So okay, so this is the big 6-0.
Yeah.
So you had a blank canvas when you and your team wanted to define and decide what kind of beer you thought would stand as a symbol to the milestone that is John Atkinson's 60th birthday. You had a blank canvas. Why go big and bad and bold with this barley wine?
It's a style. The American barley wine style, it really resonates that idea that we have here in the States, that if somebody made something good, we can make it better. And if more is good, then more is better. And it just goes on and on. So this is a big alcohol. The bittering is substantial on it, but it's about balance with the malt character, so it's incredibly satisfying.
Okay. In every John Atkinson experience.
That's the goal.
What a coincidence that is. Okay, remind all of our listeners exactly where the tap room is now, and we'll be saying this for a long time. Location number one. Is where?
Our original production facility, 245 South Plumer Avenue. If you know where Laverna's Cafe is, a lot of old-time Tucsoners know that, too.
Absolutely.
We're right across the street from that little industrial park.
Okay. So you said, and a lot of our listeners know this, but we always have first-time listeners each and every Saturday, you brew a different beer every week. That is easy feat, man.
You know, the standard model of we make four or five beers, the same beers all the time, once in a while, a surprise, bores me. So if I decided if we ever did this, I wanted to really reflect the whole range of beers that are available out there. There's over 75 recognized styles and substyles.
Sure.
So we seek to celebrate the seasonality of beer and make a different beer almost every week of the year to turn the season, to roll with that week. And the summertime has a lot of nice light beers like this that we're doing. We've got a Saguaro Fruit Goza coming up that's going to be bright and delicious, and we're going to go collect some Saguaro fruit this next 3 weeks for that.
Okay, so you are going to be collecting fruit.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a man. People call you the chef among among our local brewers because you're actually visiting the farmers markets and going to source fruit yourself, bringing it back to the tap room and playing in the sandbox.
Yeah. Some stuff isn't commercially available, and if you want it, you got to go find it, and then it's a matter of determining how to process it properly and find a beer that it fits into to make it really a delicious experience, not just an example of, we added some raspberries to this beer. We try to really incorporate it into the core style.
So it's a fundamental part of the experience. Yeah. We're talking to John Atkison with Iron John's Brewing Company here in our live broadcast from Kingfisher. Now, you started Iron John's in the original location how long ago?
We signed the first lease about 5 years ago.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah, okay. And we've been serving beer about 4.5.
Okay, and one location isn't enough for you guys.
One location. We need to sell more beer. There's more people out there. We realize we've barely begun to reach those pools, you know, those rings in the pool effect in Tucson.
Right.
And we're looking to get in front of more people, and downtown is going to be the big difference in that location.
So you guys are opening up a downtown, is it a tap room?
It's just a tap room. Okay. We're going to have 10 beers at least on tap.
Oh, wonderful.
A couple wines, a kombucha, cold brew coffee.
Oh, no kidding.
And we're contemplating putting in an English beer engine that'll pull beer out of the cask in the basement. Old school methods.
You have a basement in your downtown location?
There's a basement in the
downtown. Is it like a VIP experience to go down to the basement? Right? I mean, I would imagine.
It's more of a dangerous experience.
I've seen the plans. But anyway, where downtown are you guys going to be opening up?
We are right across the street from the Ronstadt Bus Center.
Oh,
on the south
location.
Side of Congress right there. On the other side of the block from Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, on the same block that the Gibson's Market is in. So
right.
that whole walking experience downtown is just getting really
right
rounded
there.
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what's the capacity? How many folks can you accommodate?
We have a capacity of, I believe, about 38 to 40. So it's not massive. Mm-hmm. It's about three times the size of the small tap room we have at the production facility. But again, it's just about putting that out there for a wider contact basis.
Can we doing food at all there?
No food.
Okay.
You know, we are beer centric, beer forward, beer first.
A lot of people call your beer food though.
Yeah.
Because you approach it, as I said, as the way a chef does. And so people want to know exactly when you guys are going to be opening up downtown. What's the date? What's the ETA?
July.
of 2019, of 2018.
I am comfortable making that commitment.
Okay. John Atkison is opening up the second location of Iron John's Brewing Company in July of this year, summertime, downtown. He's going to be really in the heart of the action and the adventure. There's a lot of thirsty people that call downtown home, John, and I know that you're going to be quite a busy guy. You're going to have 10 handles, you said, down there?
10 handles.
10 handles and about a 30 people occupancy. I'm trying to do the handle to guest ratio. But anyway, start at the left and work your way down and have that true
Iron John's
experience.
And it's also going to be a bottle shop for us. So
okay, great.
Anything we make is bottled up and
retail,
ready to go.
Take it to go.
Yep.
Ready to go.
Okay.
All right, John, don't go away. We got to take a quick commercial break. Thank a couple of sponsors. But when we come back, we're going to be shifting from suds to premium wine. And I love the Arizona wine story.
Awesome.
It just keeps getting better and better. And our next guest is a perfect example in this live broadcast from Kingfisher Bar and Grill. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around.
The culinary excellence of Chef Victor Padilla continues to make news on Tucson's dinner scene, but it's his brand new brunch menu that's all the buzz these days at his Hot Foothills Eatery, Commoner & Co. Victor's passion for food anchors each of his Sunday morning and midday meals, from the shrimp and creamy grits with mussels and calabrese salami to the Commoner waffle with fresh berries, smoked honey, and bourbon butter. Yeah, I said it, bourbon butter! Or check out Victor's take on a Southwest classic, the pork carnitas chilaquiles, dotted with avocado, red radish, and a sunny egg, then lovingly drizzled with a house-made guajillo sauce. Throw in a couple rounds of Commoner Bloody Marys or mimosas, and you have all the makings for the perfect weekend wrap-up. Brunch is served every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And don't forget to come back on Monday night for half-off bottles of wine. Brunch is the bomb this season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cold. I'll see you there. Rise and shine, fellow foodies. It's time to wake up and start your day the right way. With a craft cocktail, of course. Wait, what? Yes, our friends at the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro in Northwest Tucson are giving all of us a great reason to get out of bed in the morning with their Wake Up Happy Hour, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 a.m. Get happy with some small breakfast dishes and cocktails for only $6 each, like their sweet potato fries, topped with an egg and homemade sausage gravy, paired with the girls' award-winning 24-carat margarita. Oh, yeah, that's the one made with the real organic carrot juice. Talk about a hefty helping of happy. Choose from a range of dishes and signature cocktails and have fun making the most out of your morning hours at Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. Voted best place to eat gluten-free on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
Welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of another happy hour here at Kingfisher Bar and Grill on Grant Road. We are in the green room, only reserved for the VIPs, and we're all VIPs when we are at Murph's house celebrating 25 years with Murph and his team, back with our celebrity co-host from Iron John's Brewing Company, John Atkinson, making our way through this Luna Blanca like the beer professionals that we are.
Yeah, yeah, good for it.
So much nice fun. Day. Anyway, you know, we love the local craft beer scene. You know, you guys are some of the hardest working men and women that I've ever met. And when you're going across the landscape of libation, you know, winners in this state, the wine craftspeople are really doing some great things. You know, Arizona and wine did not belong in the same sentence a couple of decades
That's
ago.
True. That's
but with people like our next guest helping to raise the bar a little bit when it comes to saying, look, Arizona has the terroir, has the soil, has the climate, has the geography, has everything you need to make a world-class wine. And here she is as Exhibit A, representing Deep Sky Vineyards. Our good friend Kim Asmundson is here. Kim, how are you?
I'm good.
I mean, we're surrounded by people that love your wine. I mean, you're doing some amazing things down there in Elgin.
Thank you.
So much fun. So the story begins. You and your husband go off to Argentina to celebrate a big birthday, just going to have fun with the family and appreciate this milestone moment in Phil's life. But that trip literally changed the trajectory of everything the Asmundson family is about. What happened in Argentina that made such a big difference in the lives of wine enthusiasts right here in Arizona?
Well, we fell in love, first of all, with the country and then with the wine. And we drank way too much wine.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, drank way too much wine and bought a vineyard.
Oh,
we
gosh.
Should have bought a T-shirt. You know, most people come back from vacation with a mug, something simple.
You bought a winery.
Yeah.
Where did you buy the vineyard? Where did you buy it?
It is in the Mendoza area.
Wow.
We are south of Mendoza, about an hour, and it's an area called the Uco Valley.
Okay. Okay. So when you're thinking about that part of the world, and where we live right here in southern Arizona, there are some similarities, right? I mean, when you're thinking about that, as I said, the terroir, the climate, the culture, the soil, there's really not a short bridge that connects the two. They're really one and the same.
You know, they really are. The Mendoza area is also a high desert. Well, the first similarity is one is 33 degrees north, and our other vineyard is 33 degrees south latitude. They both have no ocean influence, similar soils. We both get those awful, well, as a farmer, monsoons.
right.
Soils, amplitude, just a lot of similarities.
So, but one vineyard wasn't enough for the Asmundson family. Happy birthday, Phil. You decide to set up shop right here in southern Arizona.
Well, you know, Philip was traveling a lot. And as he drove down from Phoenix, he saw all these similarities. And he said, you know, I think this reminds me of Mendoza. We could grow grapes here.
Wow.
So then we started investigating and found out there was a fledgling wine industry. So we investigated a little bit further, found the Wilcox area, which is where 80% of the grapes in Arizona are grown. and totally sober this time.
No excuse.
No excuse.
We bought 20 acres.
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't plant that year. We had to get in the infrastructure first. Ended up planting in 2011. We have 15,000 vines, and we planted seven different varieties. And, of course, the first one to be planted was Malbec.
Okay, of course. I mean, as an homage to the motherland. Okay, first time I'd ever heard of Deep Sky was when I was interviewing a couple of other vintners for a story in Inside Tucson Business, and I talked about my love affair with Syrah. And they both, I was talking to folks with Aridus, a wine, the vineyards, and San Reckoner, both of which have spectacular Syrahs, and they talk about sourcing some fruit from you. These are Arizona vintners that have reverence for the fruit that you grow. What is it about your grapes that are, you know, getting other wineries into the game?
Well, you know, we didn't jump into marketing when we first started. We said that we really couldn't do two or three things at a time, that we wanted to do one thing right. So we tried to get as much information as we could from as many different people as we could. We talked to Rod Keeling of Keeling
sure,
Schaefer.
Yeah.
We hired a consultant, Don Sobey, who had been farming for Golden Rule. And we just really said, we're going to figure out this farming thing. And we spent a tremendous amount of time and more than a little bit of money trying to grow the best grapes possible. And we didn't get it right the first year. We got a little bit more right the second year and have continued from there.
Well, I mean, word is out. People are going crazy about your wines. I actually did a live broadcast of this show down in Elgin several weeks ago for the Chopped cooking contest. I was one of the judges, and my wife was a big wine drinker. She, you know, tasted around, and then she sees the Deep Sky location right down the street. She went there. She sends me a text. She says, I've fallen in love. I mean, people, this Deep Sky story just keeps getting richer and more beautiful by the minute.
Well, thank you. You know, we have wonderful winemakers here. We have so much talent in the state. We really do. I think our tagline is come explore our wines with us, because we're all still trying to figure out what variety will Arizona be. What will it be known for?
Sure, yeah. Well, in the minute or so we have left, you brought a couple of wines. These photos are going to be across all of our social media properties, but tell us a little bit about what you brought.
Okay, I brought two different Malbecs. I brought our Argentina Malbec, and I brought our Big Bang Arizona Malbec. And a few weeks ago, we did something called March Madness, where we had people try eight different Malbecs, all blind, for Arizona and for Argentina. And the first weekend there were eight wines, then down to the final four, and then the big weekend where we had over 100 people vote. And it came out
wow.
A dead tie. And I promise you, I did not stuff the ballot box. It was our 14 Lacroix Malbec and our 14 Big Bang.
Beautiful. I want all of our listeners to get to know the Deep Sky story. If you go into a local restaurant and you don't see a bottle of this precious treasure juice, please ask for it by name. Deep Sky is a winery that we have only recently begun to know about. But everybody we talk to again and again keeps saying great things. We want to know, Kim, exactly where you're located and where people can come and taste your stuff.
We are located at 124 Elgin Road. We're open Thursday through Sunday from 11 to 5. We're also available at the Arizona Wine Collective.
They're in River and Campbell.
Yes, they carry five of our wines. Plaza Liquors also sells our
great
wines.
Okay, do yourself a favor, fellow foodies. Pick up a bottle or two, or if you do what John Atkinson does, three or four of Deep Sky Vineyards wine. You will be happy you did. Kim Asmundson from Deep Sky Vineyards, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be shaking and stirring with Eric Smith, who calls behind the Kingfisher Bar home in this live broadcast from Kingfisher. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here. And I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North First Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778.
Imagine, if you will, the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, the fresh aromatics of the mountains and valleys of Portugal, the warmth of an embrace by the Italian coastline. These images are brought to you by some of the most delicious extra virgin olive oils under the sun. And you can give your palate a passport to the olive capitals of the world by stopping into Alfonso's today. That's Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. These ultra-fresh oils range from mild to robust, some with subtle notes of fruit, tomato, and grass, and others with notes of brine, herbs, and spice. And each of them is perfect for cooking, for finishing and drizzling, or simply enjoying neat with fresh baked bread. And then have some fun by sampling their portfolio of fused and infused oils, like one of my favorites, the Wild Mushroom and Sage. Pair your favorite oils with their more than 20 aged balsamic vinegars and let the party commence! Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell and the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee. And don't forget, as Tom and Nancy Alfonso say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. See what they're pouring today, fellow foodies, at alfonsooliveoil.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
Welcome back, fellow foodies. You are listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Kingfisher Bar and Grill on Grant Road, just east of Tucson Boulevard, having a great time starting the celebrations of their 25th anniversary in style. And when you're thinking about style and suds, of course, you think about our celebrity co-host from Iron John's Brewing Company.
Thank you.
John Atkinson, who in July is opening up a new tap room downtown. So excited, I want to be the first person through the door.
Oh, the first?
Yes, and then the first person in the basement.
Okay. I'll put a notice up on the wall, though.
One of the things, that, you know, when you think about great bar atmospheres that memories are made of, I mean, I think everybody, when they think about the Kingfisher Bar, when they think about that lounge, memories are made in that space.
Yeah,
and
that,
I would need another hour.
That old refrigerator
yes,
is one of a kind.
It is one of a kind. And there is a man who presides one of a kind as he is because he shakes and stirs for a living. He's certainly no stranger to this audience, but I want to introduce Mr. Eric Smith, bartender extraordinaire. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you today,
Matt?
I'm
so excited that you...
Thanks for the great introduction.
I mean, look, I mean, you're Eric Smith, for crying out loud. You know, we're drinking some local beers. Local really has always been a bedrock of what Kingfisher is all about, right?
Amen.
Right. I mean, you got some great local beers here.
I'm glad to be able to feature so many different wonderful breweries here in Tucson. Right now, we've got some 1912 on tap with their Weapons Check Red. I've got the Har Bottle East Side of the River Pale Ale, Crooked Tooth 18th Hour IPA. I have a Saison from Dillinger. And then in the bottle right now, we're featuring Iron John's Luna Blanca.
Yeah. What a great place to navigate the palate today, because it's 135 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And when the mercury hits that, this is the go-to beer.
Yeah.
So I've never had this one before.
Nice.
I'm so excited. So local beer, you know, this whole thing is all about local. Murph and his colleagues got together 25 years ago, I think, to kind of pioneer a new era for dining and drinking in southern Arizona. You get to come here every day and call it work. I'm jealous.
I couldn't have a better job. I get to be social and enjoy Murph and Jeff's company,
right,
and serve great food and drinks.
All right. And there's a lot of shaking and stirring going on when you're presiding behind the bar.
You bet.
Okay.
Shake all my martinis and stir all my Manhattans.
It's like dinner and a show watching you do. As I say quite often, I got my start in this business as a bartender at the Bum Steer 30 years ago.
Ooh.
And I can tell you there was not a whole lot of muddling going on at the Bum Steer. If it wasn't Coors or Cuervo, I didn't know what to do. But anyway, cocktails has really become part of the experience here. That's where I like to go before my meal, and you've got some cocktails that are making some news even as we speak.
Yeah, so right now we're featuring on our Southwest road trip here at the Kingfisher, we're featuring one cocktail, the 93 Till Infinity, and that's a mezcal-based cocktail. And then we also have featuring another great local product, a Whiskey Del Bach Flight.
Oh, from Hamilton Distillers,
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
A Flight of Del Bach.
A Flight of Del Bach. So we have the classic, they're unsmoked. We have the Dorado, which is their smoked, and then we have the Distiller's Cut. So that's the cask-strength version of the Dorado.
119 proof or something like
that's
that.
That's the way to go.
Johnny, ever use any of those whiskey barrels?
Yeah,
for,
we've been using their cask for our anniversary beer for about 4 years now.
I love that.
It's deep, rich, beautiful thing that comes off of that the whiskey and the wood.
Yeah, I tell you, I love when the distillers and the brewers get together and collaborate. That whole spirit of collaboration is a model, I think, for others in the industry. But you said something about mezcal that got my attention, and I want you to tell the story that is in this glass, because for me to do it would render it to I couldn't do it with justice.
All
so
right.
Talk about, this is on your summer road trip menu, paying homage to the flavors and the traditions of the Southwest. How does this cocktail do that?
So we've got the mezcal, which is a great indigenous Mexico product, mostly coming out of Oaxaca. We're featuring the mezcal Vago Elote. So that is it's a mezcal where between the first and second distillations, they're adding roasted corn. It's kind of a family secret for that distiller. And that you get this really nice smoke to it.
Right on the top, on the nose, you're getting that smoke. Now, you're talking about bringing corn into the distillate. I've got my mouth is agape just learning about this. I'm looking over at John. He's like, yeah, this is the kind of stuff we do.
That's the kind of secret technique I'm always looking to hear about and think about, and how can I incorporate
it? Yeah. So what's this cocktail called, Eric?
This is the 93 Till Infinity, paying homage to our opening year at the Kingfisher in 1993, and hopefully we'll go on until infinity.
Of course you will.
Yeah,
of course you will. We'll come back for your 50th anniversary.
Hopefully we'll be here.
I'll get in the shuttle from the assisted living facility, and we'll finish the story. But now, when you do the summer road trip, when you choose a different region across the country to kind of transport our palates to, there's always a cocktail, at least one cocktail, that matches with the spirit of the region that to the back of the house is putting together, right?
Yes. Oh, of course. So this one, I like to think that roasted corn, the street corn, elote, that you might find on the south side here in Tucson. We're adding a little bit of thyme syrup and lime juice to that, and then there's some muddled papaya. And the other really cool thing I like in this is this Luxardo Maraschino liqueur. So that's distilled from your regular maraschino cherries that you would find something like a Manhattan.
So you get the herbaceousness from the herb, you get the smoke from the mezcal, you got a little bit of sweetness coming in from the maraschino. A great cocktail is all about great balance, and Eric Smith, you have balanced this cocktail beautifully. Thank you so much for everything you do. We got to take a quick news break and thank a couple of sponsors, but when we come back, the man is here. He has made his way through the paparazzi. He is none other than Murph, and he will be with us live in this live broadcast from Kingfisher Bar and Grill. Stick around, fellow foodies. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you've heard me talk about Tino's Pizza for quite a while. Not only for their consistency and quality ingredients, but simply for the way they've done business here for nearly 35 years. You see, their family business is built on relationships. It's about a great staff with a style of service that keeps the customer at the center of everything they do, while serving up pizzas, calzones, wings, salads, wines, and craft beers, all in a setting that captures the essence of those neighborhood pizza places that we all remember growing up. So whether it's meeting friends and family there for a casual lunch or dinner, swinging by for some food and growlers to go, getting it delivered directly to your door, or having them cater your next special event, just ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tanqueverty Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town, or check them out online at tinospizza.com.
Back on the menu live. You are listening to Matt Russell, and I am broadcasting live from Kingfisher Bar and Grill, celebrating their 25th anniversary. They don't look a day over 24. I want to thank all of our sponsors that make it possible for me to run my mouth every Saturday at 5 o'clock to keep the conversation attuned and focused to local. It is the spirit of local that drives the culinary and cocktail and wine scene. And fellow foodies, remember that. When you spend your money here locally, spend it locally. Hats off to our sponsors, Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics, Boca Tacos and Tequila, Commoner & Co., Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, Jerry's Cigars, Tino's Pizza, Tucson Foodie, and Russell Public Communications. And speaking of sponsors, I would say if you have not voted for the Iron Chef competition, there is one person who will stand against Iron Chef Travis Peters in the Iron Chef competition. And the voting ends, I believe, tomorrow. You have 24 hours to cast your vote. Go to IronChefTucson.com and vote for your favorite. Now, I'm biased. I love them all. They're family to me. But a couple of our sponsors are involved. Mary Steiger from Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, and Chef Brian Smith from Maynard's Market and Kitchen downtown. Read their stories, get to know them, look for ideas for how they plan to unseat Travis Peters. It's a tall order, but it's going to be a great event. Again, IronChefTucson.com, and cast your vote today. I don't know where to go with this next introduction, John Atkinson. I mean, I've had this guy on the show, you know, many times, and as our listeners know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on in the show, and I'm asked this all the time, Tucson is a food town, and it really is a legitimate food town, but it wasn't always. And you think about, when was that shift? When was that moment that crystallized, that actually ushered in a new era of dining and drinking in Southern Arizona? And, you know, at the top of my list, and I've told him this, and, you know, he sort of says it takes a village, and he blushes and all that kind of, Kingfisher is a pioneer in framing Tucson as a food town.
And not just doing it, but sticking with it and still being here.
Yeah.
Keeping it going is the real challenge.
Tell you what, I mean, and keeping it going, he does, because he's been here now for 25 years. The man needs no introduction, but it is always an honor for me to welcome back Mr. Jim Murph. Murphy is in the house at Kingfisher. Murph, what's happening, brother?
Thank you very much.
I'm so excited that we're here.
Fun of these interviews is your introduction.
I tell you what, you want me to do it again? Here we are in the green room. I tell you what, we talk about the iconic setting that the bar is, and I said earlier in the show that everybody has a Kingfisher bar story. That bar is where memories were made, and we continue to make them every day. But there's something special about this PDR, as we say in the inside, this private dining space, the green room, that just has many stories to tell of their own.
Well, you know, when we were first sitting down to come up with the menus and the name and all that, and it was changing, we knew we wanted a private dining room. We didn't know what to call it. And we were watching Johnny Carson, and we figured Johnny Carson has a green room where all the pros wait before they come on. So we had our own green room.
Now, you know, there's a psychology associated with the color green. Do you know why they call it the green room? See, this is my business. I know this. Green, psychologically, is a calming color. So when you're about to go on national television, they put you in the green room to calm things down. I'm having a little bit of a conflict being calm in this green room because that's how I roll. But anyway, what a special surrounding you guys have created here. Yeah. For 25 years.
And that was, we were sitting on, Tim lived on 10th Street, and we're sitting in his backyard talking about this and, well, 25 years ago. It's pretty amazing, and you've seen the menu, the road trip menus, and printed on silver paper for our 25th anniversary.
Of course, it is, of course. We're going to get to summer road trip, and you started out of the chute not too long after you opened doing the summer road trip, right?
Well, we opened it in September 1st of 93,
yes.
So we didn't, the next Memorial Day was our first road trip, but that was our idea for our summer promotion right from the get-go.
You know, John said a couple minutes ago that, you know, the key is staying in business. For me, and it's a great milestone moment to say 25 years, but the fact that you've stayed and you've seen the cyclical economies that we have to live and breathe and play and practice in, but you have made it. And it's not just about Murph and the partners here. You take a look at
some of these. It's a village. You said it.
It's a village, and I'm looking at some of these. Look,
and it's our staff too. We've been blessed. Well, great Tucson's a great town. Kingfisher came on a right time, but we've been blessed with staff over the last 25 years that some have been with us since day one.
I mean, Carmen Chavarria, 25 years. Jim Diamond Smith, 22 years. Marianne Baines is a star in her own right. She's been here for a couple of decades.
You know, John worked with her.
19 years. I mean, what does it say about, I mean, that is a testament. That is loyalty. There's, you know, we've got a great food town, lots of places to work. People said yes to Kingfisher 20 years ago, and they haven't gone home yet.
Yeah, well, like I said, we've been blessed. It's a good place to work, and we try to keep it that way, but a lot of it's who's coming in the door, too. If the guests weren't pleasant and wanting to be here and ready to try new things, I mean, our menu changes 4 times a year, and then it changes every 2 weeks with road trips.
With road trip, exactly.
200 changes over the last 25 years.
I know what that's like.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a different beer a week.
And I really thrive on something like that. I appreciate the hell out of it because it's like, oh, good, something new to try.
Yeah. I mean, so. Last time I talked to you guys on the same day.
That's right.
I was writing a story for Inside Tucson Business on this crazy thing that Murph told me about.
And, you know, that went huge for us and for you too, right?
Yeah, yeah, the oyster stout.
Yeah.
9
stout.
Pounds of shucked oysters.
Wait till you hear this year.
Just because you can, maybe, doesn't mean you should.
I love that. That was the best quote.
But. It's a weird idea, but people responded just amazingly.
Boy, did they ever. So in terms of your 25th anniversary, is there kind of a series of celebrations? I know Summer Road Trip kind of commenced the anniversary celebrations, but are you guys thinking about doing something, you know, kind of one night, a series of events to commemorate?
Well, September 1st is the actual one.
September 1st.
Actually, the city says the 4th, but, you know, that's still out. Or it might even be the 6th, the city might say. But, we'll be doing some things. We haven't quite come up with them, fleshed them out. You'll see some large outdoor advertising.
Excellent.
And thanking the community and the staff. And you'll see some other things, too. But they'll start in September.
I think that's great. You know, I want to challenge all of my listeners, and I know that each and every one of you has a Kingfisher story to tell, and I think it would be fun to kind of chronicle those. Remember, it's a family show. But remember that first moment that you had with Kingfisher. Remember that anniversary. Remember that proposal. Remember that just Thursday night out. Remember that late night. I want people to share their Kingfisher stories, because it's those stories, Murph, that drives your success.
Oh, yeah. We see a lot of guests that we knew 25 years ago. Maybe young couples just married, and now their kids are coming back. We saw them at their graduation. Now they're married, and they have kids, which 25 years, you know, that's pretty amazing.
And I tell you what.
We see them all the time.
Speaking of weddings, I see some celebrities here in the back of the house. I see my good friends Richard and Cindy. Now, I actually did a live broadcast of my show from their wedding. Now, they didn't know it, and I didn't know it, but they were getting married at the Tangaverde Ranch, and I was doing my radio show in the, what is it called, the Doghouse Saloon, and I said, what's all the tuxedos for? People are really dressing up to come to my show. But anyway, Richard and Cindy, huge loyalists of Kingfisher. Thanks so much, guys, for hanging
out with us. Thank you, Richard and Cindy.
Okay, so Summer Road Trip. Okay.
Right. We start in the Southwest. It always goes from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Right.
And 12 to 16 days, it changes. The first three are Southwest. We're in it now. The next one is Pacific Northwest, then Cal Hawaii, and then we take a little vacation, and then we come back middle of July with Great Plains Midwest, then back east, and we finish up down south. And the menus, well, they're all plated in silver for our 25th. Anyway, you know, we break them up. Fred Harris, our executive chef for 20 years,
right,
just got his watch last month. And and Jeff and I, and then this year Jeff with the Southwest menu took our AM sous chef, Richard, and one of the nighttime cooks, and got together, and they all put their donation in here. Richard came up with the... I think his is the lenguado dish, and then Matt has the buñuelos, which we have right here, which a buñuelos, anybody in the Southwest would know them. They're fritters. They're usually around Christmas time.
Yes.
Ours are a little different. Ours are corn-based, not flour, and it's basically a corn fritter, and it has a lot of vegetables diced up and sautéed in butter, chilled, and then folded in, and they're fried to order. And then it has a little sweetness on the top. An avocado crema and cotija cheese on top, which it kind of make it savory, but the crema is a little sweet. So it's about regional dishes that we kind of change a little. You see we have albondigas on the menu, one of our, but it's seafood albondigas, so it's a little bit different.
A little twist, a little tweak to the tradition. Now, if any of our listeners don't understand the Summer Road Trip, again, Memorial Day to Labor Day, there are, I guess, two-week virtual tours.
Right, we break the U.S. up into six regions, and every 12 to 16 days, we change from region to region. And we still have our regular menu the whole summer. But then we write menus for those regions every couple weeks.
And now when you, so there's not one chef that does Southwest every year. There's not one chef that does, you know, Great Plains Midwest. Do you guys, I mean, do you draw out of a hat?
It's funny, for the last 20 years, we have literally written down and drawn out of a hat.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, and this year when we're using other cooks and bringing them in, we always know we're going to do Southwest first, and generally down south is last. But that changes, too. And a lot of it has to do with, over time, we realized to find the best regional ingredients. Like, if you can't do Pacific Northwest if you're looking for stone fruit way late in the year.
Yeah,
you know, you
right.
need to get them up front. Or there's certainly things like fiddleheads and some different mushrooms and things if you're not getting them out of Pennsylvania for the Midwest. And
oh, just
just certain things like fiddleheads, John. Yeah. I mean, fiddleheads.
Those
which would,
the fancy,
you know, which would probably be great in a beer. Now that I'm thinking about this,
now the news is out. Is there a particular region, Murph, that you just that when you draw it and you open it up and you read it and you know that you're responsible for putting together that menu? Is there one region that makes you just rejoice?
Oh yeah, it's down south.
It's down south.
I mean, it's back to my Jerome's roots, right. And I'm big on low and slow, and there's so much down there that's kind of a secondary protein, you know. It lends itself to that style of cooking. Plus, the you know, South Florida, there's a lot of roasting. We roast whole pigs, right, and pick them. But I think it's near and dear to my heart down south. Yeah.
Well, the Southwest tour, which is began a few days ago, is what we are enjoying. We're going to bring a couple of things over here that Murph talked about.
Brought us silverware, it would be better. But there is some. Yeah.
I'm gonna
so this is our green gazpacho. It's just a chilled gazpacho. It's pureed. Tomatoes and tomatillos and scallions and garlic and a bunch of different stuff. And it's just like a regular gazpacho, but it's green because of the tomatoes and the tomatillos in it. And we make this daily, so it's nice and fresh. And then the buñuelos.
Great. I'm going to bring that over here.
And go ahead and dig in. And we're also doing whole fried Gulf red snappers this time, too, so... Absolutely. We get about 1.5 pound fish that are gutted and scaled, and we just score them and deep fry them, which is the fun part of this for us is that our guest knows that they're going to be, they'll try the stuff, you know? They'll things to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you said that the full Kingfisher menu is always available. If you're not feeling like you want to transport your palate to some of the other delicious regions, that you can order right off the menu, but, few people do, right, Murph? I mean, they come to Kingfisher in the summertime to see what's manifesting.
Sure. Well, you can see them online, the menus. We post them the week before online. But we have little punch cards. And so you buy 5 entrees, you get the 6th free. And we have people that in the first menu will come in 5 times, get their 5 punches, so that the next time they're in, they get their 6th, maybe first one for the next menu free, which is great.
Okay, pronounce this dish.
Buñuelo.
These are buñuelo. John, have you ever had a buñuelo?
You know, I've lived here a long time, and I don't think I've ever had
this
one.
This is
it's fried dough. I mean, culture around the world,
donut.
They all
it's
have their fried dough. Exactly.
It's a hush puppy, really.
It's a hush puppy.
It's in the hush puppy family, mm-hmm. The genre. So right off the top, you've got that beautiful crisp coating that's so delicate, yet it's sturdy enough to kind of keep everything together. And when you bite through that crispy coating, what is revealed is this gorgeous, like, black bean. I mean, it's almost like pudding. It's just
almost
so soft and creamy.
It's mostly savory, but there's that sweet element that's balancing it very nicely.
It'd go great with a beer.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Wow, what a coincidence. Now, John, that's a good point, Murph. So, John, when you're thinking about these savory flavors coming off these buñuelos, where would you go suds-wise?
Well, you're either looking to pair something, you're either looking to complement or contrast the flavor character. Mm. So, you know, you put your brain into that mode and think about that flavor. What would I like that would go with that? Or what I like that would cleanse my palate so I can enjoy it again or give it a contrast.
Right, right.
So, you know, there's no right choice. Everything is the right choice.
Yeah, if you like it, it's right, right?
Yep.
Okay, so this is taking tradition.
Yeah.
And just kind of giving it a little bit of a knock. Giving it that Kingfisher style, that touch.
You talked earlier
that
about
everybody loves.
Everybody's Kingfisher experience. Mine is the fact that when people come to town and say, where's someplace nice to eat? I can bring them here and I know no matter what's on the menu, it's well executed, well thought out, and well delivered.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have nothing but respect for the fact that Murph makes it look easy.
No, he really does. I mean, look at him. He's just I just hang out with this guy all day. All right. So the flatware has arrived.
Flatware's right, and napkins even too.
Okay, great. So walk us through the flavors coming out of this dish again.
So it's green tomatoes.
Right.
There's onions. There's scallions. There's fresh garlic. There's also tomatillos, and we just dice them and puree them. Or run them through the Robocoo, and then we puree them in a blender to get that fine texture.
Yes.
And there's no added sweetness. You know, there's a little olive oil, and we make a panada with breadcrumbs and olive oil and a little garlic, and it gives it the body, and that gets pureed in, too.
I love that texture. I mean, there's a little bit of a – it's got a beautiful mouthfeel, light, bright, summer, fresh.
I like the
flavors.
Science behind it, the texture development and the balancing again. That's what appeals to me.
Okay, so this is right again on the Southwest.
This is on Southwest Menu, which goes till next Wednesday night.
Okay.
And then Thursday night is the new one.
You want to give us a tease? Now, what region are we going to after Southwest?
The next one's Fred Harris.
Okay, Fred's
and
doing.
And we're going to the Pacific Northwest.
Okay. Any tease? I mean, we're going to – look, you're a seafood-driven restaurant.
Well, there's porcini rubbed, powdered porcini rubbed venison chops.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
So, just in case you had other plans.
And we're bringing some Alaskan halibut down.
Beautiful.
And it's going to cedar plank that. And there is a fresh berry, blackberry soup, a puree soup, chilled soup.
So when you do a region, there's kind of a mandatory. There's something that you have to have, but it creates that anchor. But you really say, look, let's expand people's horizons. I mean, when you're thinking about a particular region, you have your obvious places to go, but you're bringing in some flavors that I wouldn't otherwise associate with that region. So there's some education in it as well.
Right.
I love that.
Very much so. And we're doing a pear, like a buckle. So it has streusel topping, Marianne. Marianne's big on, you know, all our desserts. But she does a great job. The Sabara chocolate pound cake is...
All right. That's on the list.
Yeah.
That's on the list. We're going to be working our way down. Well, the time has come, Murph, to see if one of our listeners wants to have a shot getting a Kingfisher gift card. The trivia question. I know there's a lot of places we can go, a lot of ideas, fun, fresh, and fascinating for you to ask our listeners. Have you thought about something fun that we can ask our listeners today?
I did, and it goes back 25 years. The restaurant started out with four partners, John, Jeff, Tim, and Murph, and myself.
Right.
And we tried to think of what could we name our corporation, and we came up with the four most famous guys in the world.
Okay.
LMCS Incorporated.
Okay, so the name of the company is LMCS Incorporated.
Right.
And LMCS represents four of the famous, or not of the four
most famous guys in the world.
In the world. Okay.
Right.
LMCS. The four most famous guys in the world. If you think you know the answer to the question, send me a note right now on the menu live at gmail.com. Again, on the menu live at gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get a Kingfisher gift card. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank another valued sponsor. And when we come back, we're going to be wrapping it up with Murph here in this live broadcast from Kingfisher Bar and Grill. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, you've already made On the Menu Live your weekend destination for the most delicious hour on radio. Come back Sundays for the most compelling hour on radio. American Warrior Radio with my friend Ben Bueller Garcia, telling the stories of those who protect and inspire us. Sundays from noon to 1, right here on 104.1 KQTH, your weekend destination for great radio. Red Snapper with rice noodle puffs and tomato sauce. Chicharrones with jicama slaw, Thai chili, mint, and basil. Bison meatloaf with kiwi, melon, and mulberry. These are the kinds of specials that rotate regularly at Boca Tacos and Tequila. And you thought Boca was only about tacos? Think again! Fresh off her appearance on the Food Network's hit TV program Chopped, Tucson chef Maria Maison continues to blow our minds back home at Boca with daily specials that showcase the personal expression of her unique Sonoran story. With bold flavors, fresh ingredients, and the kind of kitchen creativity that made her a national media star. I've always loved Boca for gourmet tacos and premium tequilas, and now there's even more to love with their daily lineup of entree specials. Now, where was I? Hot noodle soup with a guajillo chili puree. Pan-seared salmon.
Boca Tacos and Tequila on 4th Avenue, just north of 6th Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 10 and Sunday 11 to 8. Check out their full menu today at BocaTacos.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Menu Live, and it is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the 25th anniversary commencement of the celebration at Kingfisher Bar and Grill on Grant Road, here with our celebrity co-host from Iron John's Brewing Company, Mr. John Atkinson.
I'm glad to be here.
Man, how much fun are we having today?
Oh, this is great. I told you before, I go way back with Murph. I worked at the Good Earth Restaurant in the 80s.
Yeah. I tell you what,
I'm old.
I moved to Tucson in 1978. Good Earth was one of the first restaurants that I went to. I remember the tuna sandwich. There was something about that bread, that fresh baked bread.
Something about that time period, tuna. The Good Earth, Murph getting started,
Jerome's, Yano's,
Lou
Willow.
It was a shifting moment.
There was first 5 years in the 80s.
There was an awakening. It was a beautiful thing to behold.
I love it. Where do you like to go out to eat when they let you out of this place, Murph?
Well, it really depends what we're after, you know. I mean, we go to Tavolino for Italian. We do a lot of Trident for a burger,
you know.
It depends, you know.
I'm asked the question all the time. What's your favorite restaurant? How can I possibly answer that question? I mean, it depends. Day of the week, time of the year.
Right.
You know, what kind of day I've had. I mean, there's just so many wonderful
Since Midway Molina closed, though, we're looking for a Mexican food place.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was kind of a
traumatic moment for us.
That was a go-to for me for a long time.
Amisha's, they've got a truck outside as they are beginning the fire restoration. They're selling food out of their truck right there in the parking lot of Misha's, so hopefully they'll be open soon. There's a lot. This next generation, these rising stars in the Tucson food world. You know, a couple of these guys have gotten together with some of the veterans, and they've created this organization called GUT, affectionately for the Gastronomic Union of Tucson. And I love the spirit that these chefs bring, because it's all about collaboration. It's all about, again, raising the bar. And you're a member of this august body as well.
It is.
Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing at GUT. I mean, I love this group.
Well, I've done a couple of their events, and it's great to meet the young guys, because I'm the old guy, which is really weird for me. I'm the old guy.
The young Turk is now
the old
Turk.
You know, Yana showed up at the last one in street clothes, and I'm like, well, throw an apron on, get over here, would you? And he's like, nah. So it's a bunch of good guys, and they're very food forward. You know, we did the beer festival down at Armory Park, and there were two brewers from Prescott, and I heard them remark that the food, they'd never been to a beer festival that the food was so exemplary, well done, the flavors were thoughtful. And they just, the food shone. And for me, I don't know about the rest of the guys, but for me to hear that, that's great for Tucson. That's great
testament.
For this group. You know, these guys, they're young. You know, they're not all of them own their places, so the owners have to be buy into it also. But, you know, they're there to do the work. You know, sometimes you get these food things and people just slang it out, you know, but if you're wheeling up a fryer that you've transferred onto propane you've got all these catering cooking things going on, it's hard, you know. I mean, it's not – this job's hard anyway, but when you take it on the road, it's a lot harder.
For sure. Now, you know, you're 25 years in on the – of course, your culinary career spans many, many years. Kingfisher, 25 years.
Well, I started when I was 16.
You started when
you
were 16 as a kid.
No, I mean, I'm 41 now. Anyway.
So if there's one thing that you know now, after 25 years of owning your own restaurant, if there's one thing you know now that you wish – you would have known 25 years ago. Impart some wisdom onto this next generation that think, look, I think I'm a great chef. I'm going to open up my own restaurant. Listen to the oracle of wisdom that is Murph, because he's going to reveal for you. Talk about putting him on the spot, Sean. He's going to reveal for you some wisdom. Man, if I only knew that 25 years ago.
You know, it's hard to be humble when you're the guy in charge in the kitchen at times. But there's always something to learn. Okay, there's something to learn from the beer guy you're talking to. All right, he knows flavors. He may say something, listen, read, pick up anything you can. When you go out to dinner, if you like a particular flavor, find out what it is, what goes together. Never stop learning. Never think you're at your pinnacle until you're knocking on the door, you know.
I
so,
love that.
And I, if I could instill that to anybody, is to just never stop. Never stop gathering information, you know, because it makes a difference. You read something on an airplane and you do it later, you know. It's about what your mind does with what your mouth tastes.
I got to be writing this down. John, let me tell you why I'm so thrilled with that response. Because, you know, sometimes I ask that question, and I get, well, I wish I knew what a P&L statement looked like. Well, you know, I guess, you know, I wish I understood how painful payroll could be sometimes. I wish I had Murph doesn't care about that stuff. I mean, yes, it's a business, don't get me wrong, but when we're thinking about wisdom to impart, he's not imparting business, he's imparting spirit.
Yes, that's the words of an artist. You're hearing an artist express. He didn't say anything about cost.
Nothing.
He didn't say anything about you need more money.
No parking.
No partners.
He
didn't say any of that stuff.
No, nothing about the urinal. I mean, this is about the spirit of the experience.
Yeah. And you hope that pays off in the long run.
That's from the heart.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know, though, we started with four partners.
Yeah.
And the joke always was, if there's two words you need to remember when starting a business, the two words are sole proprietorship.
Quickly, Murph, if you had to go home and take everything out of the Murphy family refrigerator, everything comes out of the fridge except for one thing. What is the one thing that you simply cannot live without in the Murphy household?
A bottle of champagne for my wife.
Oh, God bless you. Does it get any better than that? I don't know where else we can go after that. A bottle of champagne for the lucky lady that has been privileged to stand at the side of Jim Murphy for...
28 years.
28 years. God bless you both. Thank you so much. Jim Murph Murphy, always a lovely time hanging out with this icon on the Tucson culinary scene. And from Iron John's Brewing Company, John Atkinson, get to know this guy and his story.
Thank you.
And pick up some beers from him as well. And, of course, Eric Smith behind the bar. He's making a lot of people happy there. And Kim Asmundson from Deep Sky Vineyards, thank you so much. If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website on themenulive.com early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it's on the Menu Live. Cheers! Come on down to Kingfisher.